It's Friday, October 21st, 2005, and I'm recording this on a borrowed iRiver little MP3 player recorder. It doesn't sound too bad. Hi, doggies. This is Dirk Miller from the Pen Machine Podcast at podcast.penmachine.com. This is a bit of a different thing for me. Usually my podcast is just PodSafe original instrumental songs that I record and release for anybody to use. And usually there's no talking or singing or anything else. But this time I thought what I would do is talk a little bit about my recording process and how these songs come about. So I did that a little bit earlier, just as I was leaving the office of the software company I work for, called Navarik, which makes software for ocean shipping companies. And so I just as I got to the elevator, I started talking about my recording process, and I finished talking about it just as I got to the SkyTrain that takes me home. Now I'm at the other end, but I thought I should do a little intro to explain what all this is about. And so I'll play you now the description I gave of how I do all this stuff, and I hope you enjoy it. And keep an ear on podcast.penmachine.com for my next track, which I hope to release sometime next week. So thanks a lot, and I'll talk to you later. SkyTrain home, and I'm going to talk a little bit about how I make the music that I put on my podcast. Now, the thing that's sort of funny about everything I've put together so far is that I'm a drummer, but none of my drumming is actually on any of the songs that I've recorded for my podcast, because recording drums, live drums, acoustic drums, is a pain in the butt. You gotta set up a bunch of microphones, you gotta get the sound just right, it's not easy. So I haven't bothered to do it. When I first got GarageBand in mid-2004, when they released the first version, the thing that was really cool about it is that the loops it had were really very good. And the drums in particular, although it didn't have every kind of groove that I wanted, even the MIDI drums that weren't full, you know, weren't sampled drum chunks, actually sounded really awesome. So I just used those, and I've been doing that ever since. And often what I'll do is, because I'm a drummer, I might even build up the rhythm track before I even know what the song's going to sound like. So I'll find some drums I like, and a speed I like, and just start building up a drum track out of a few different samples and percussion bits and tambourine and whatever. And I'll chop them up and turn bits of some of the loops into fills that I use in particular parts. And what I try to do is, in a way, kind of odd, is I try to make the artificial drums sound as if I really were playing them. So I'm trying to make it as if I were drumming, but I'm not. So many of the other instruments actually are me playing something. Even keyboards, which I know almost nothing about, until my daughter, who's 7, started taking piano when she was, I guess, 5? 5 and a half, something like that. She'd been begging us for piano lessons, and she started taking piano, begging for piano lessons. How about that? So we bought her a digital piano, and I, of course, wrote an article for my website about it, and it's become quite popular. But anyway, we have a digital piano, and she's been playing that. And until she started taking it, I didn't even know where middle C was on the piano. I've since figured that out. And so I play keyboards on the songs, mostly by hacking my way through them and maybe doing little chunks at a time so that I can play a little bit where I don't make a mistake and then stop and then play another little bit where I don't make a mistake. And pushing those all together, it sounds like I can actually play Hammond organ or piano or something. So I may do that. Anyway, back to the process. If I've actually come up with a chord progression on the guitar or on the keyboard or on the bass, I'll build the rhythm track, as I said, from some sampled drums or drum loops of some sort. And then I'll play the basic chord progression or find some way in there, and then I'll start playing around with it. So I'll put in the basic line, maybe there's a verse line, verse progression, and a chorus progression, and I'll record those, and then I'll start putting them in a different order, or I'll loop them a few times to try and get something I can layer over. And then I'll play some kind of melody on it, on the organ or on the guitar, play some guitar solos or whatever. Sometimes I'll just run through, start the song, I'll construct a whole rhythm track that's 2, 3, 4 minutes long, that's got various bits in it, stops and starts, the basic dynamics of a song, and then I'll just start playing stuff over it on the keyboard or the guitar, and I might run it from beginning to end and just kind of improvise in my very limited technique. And what will usually happen then is I'll create some little bits that are actually pretty good, and a lot that's crap. And so I'll listen to it and take out the good bits, keep the good bits and take out the crap, and then maybe repeat the good bits or alter them slightly or try to play around with them or layer them with some other stuff. So the process of constructing one of my instrumentals is actually very construction. It's taking bits that I record and loop and discover and assembling them over the course of a few hours or here and there over the course of a few days, and building them into something that sounds good. And then what I'll do, so I'll try and get a whole bunch of sounds in there. Usually I'll listen to it and think, well, it needs some sort of background keyboard or some other kind of sound, or maybe another loop I've got somewhere. And so I'll get it all put together, and then I'll turn it into an MP3 file, a rough one, and stick it on my iPod and listen to it a whole bunch of times. Because I find when I do that, I sort of try and listen to it as a listener that doesn't know the track, and to think, well, what's it missing? Where does it go on too long? Where should there be more? Where is it kind of lame or flaccid? What should I do with it? And then I go back and try and fix it. And eventually I get to the point where I'm pretty much happy with it. Or sometimes I don't. Sometimes I get to the point where I'm like, well, I'm just kind of tired of this one, and I'll stop. And sometimes I go back after that, and I figure out, if I leave it for a few days, and then come back to it and listen, I go, hey, that's actually pretty good, and I'll just go with that. Or I may remix it a bit or do something else like that. And sometimes that's all I need to do. Or sometimes I come back a few days later and decide that I really don't like it at all, or I like something but I don't like what I've done with it, and I'll kind of pull out the bits that I do like and start over. Sometimes a track will sit for months like that, and then I'll come back and figure out what to do with it. So anyway, eventually I get to the point where I actually like what I've got. Just gotta cross the big street here. So eventually I get to the point where I like what I've got, and I'll turn it into an MP3 file. And these days what I've been doing is before I turn it into an MP3 file, I need to mix it. I need to sort of, after I've listened to it again on the iPod a few times, I have to figure out which bits are too loud, too soft, how they mix together, how the various components go, so that it sounds like an actual song. So I'll do that, and then a little while after that, previously I would have just uploaded it straight to my server and put it in the podcast and it would have been done. But recently, what I've been doing is sending it to this guy named Les Thorne, who I don't even know where he is, but he masters it for me, which means he does some basic EQ and level control and compression and various other things to get it sounding like a professional production, and it's amazing what a difference that makes. The key thing it does is it makes it sound good on almost anything. Cheap speakers, nice headphones, expensive stereo. In some way it sounds good in all those forms. So he does that when I have the chance to get it there, and just putting my money into the SkyTrain ticket machine here. That, and then I'll upload it, and then I gotta update my webpage and update the RSS feed and everything that gets the song out there, and I see what people think, or I don't. It goes out there, and I see whether anybody puts it in their podcast, or how many downloads I get, all that sort of stuff, and that's the basic process. So, I'm on the SkyTrain platform now, and it's probably going to seem a bit weird if I'm chattering on about all this stuff when I'm on the train, so I'm going to stop it once the train comes, and I've pretty much finished anyway. So if you're wondering how I do all that stuff, it's all done, I guess I should describe it, I do it all in GarageBand on the Mac. I use real electric guitars and a real bass guitar or synth bass with a keyboard controller I have plugged into the Mac and some guitar effects pedals. But that's about it. I've only used a microphone once for an acoustic guitar, otherwise there's not even any microphones. So, this train's busy. I think I'm going to wait for the next one. So it's all pretty much an entirely digital process, except that the guitars are analog and my fingers are analog. And that's the way I've done all the songs I've done so far. So now I'm putting the 14 I've done so far into an album, which I'm hoping some of you will buy, which when it includes some extra bonus material on the DVD. I'll put that info on my site when we get there. Otherwise, I encourage you to keep visiting podcast.penmachine.com, which is the site I use to update these songs, or you can go to my regular blog, which is at www.penmachine.com. And I hope you enjoyed this little description of my process and all the background noise that comes from me walking from my office to the SkyTrain.